かはんにゃはらみたしんぎょう。
Thank you for joining the Zen Care Podcast. These recorded Dharma talks are given freely to our community in the heart of New York City, which we are honored to now share with you. New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care is dedicated to transforming the nature of care through contemplative practice by meeting illness, aging, and death with compassion and wisdom.Learn about us at zencare.org.
So important to remember oneness. There is no difference at all. The one bright pearl.As Dogen Zenji talks about. And so important, equally, to appreciate difference and how those interweave together. Complete difference and complete oneness as one thing.Today is the 33rd day of our practice period. I've just been continuously enjoying the teachings of Kodosawaki Roshi, his super clarity, his devotion to a life of practice.So clear. And as I was sharing yesterday, it just feels like this incredibly rich time here at the Zen Center of the practice period and all the different teachers coming. Amazing. And yesterday in our Catch Your Mind, which is a kind of foundational.Yearly practice that we have here for our formal students and everyone. But to me, it really embodies what is most important that we practice and study. So those of you who have not yet participated, highly recommend.Every year, again and again, we link back to our bodhisattva vow. And yesterday, we were exploring our fears around commitment. And it was incredibly powerful. We went around ourone dose circle. And people were so courageous in their clarity around so many fears around commitment, about disappointment, feeling trapped, feeling like as if I commit, I won't have any freedom. What will others think? Is this a cult?And it was so beautiful because what happened for many people in that circle, including myself, was that you start to realize, like, oh, all of those fears are not mine. But most of the time I'm walking around and acting like my fears are my fears, as opposed to, oh, I'm just experiencing fear.Of leaving the familiar. which are ancestors, as we talked about yesterday, most likely felt when they were leaving the cave, because there was like scary shit outside. But we still act as if that's still true. We indulge our fear. Way too much. Under the guise of protecting our freedom. In the text from today, Kurosawaki says, there are bodhisattvas without magical abilities. In case you thought all bodhisattvas have magical abilities. These are bodhisattvas who have entirely forgotten the words like practice or satori. Bodhisattvas without wonderful powers, bodhisattvas who are immeasurable, bodhisattvas who are not interested in their name and fame. This is in many ways the heart of Dogen's teaching, of leaving no trace, of our Zen tradition itself, about the value of not like, look at me, I'm fluffing up the cushion. Just doing. Leaving things a bit nicer than you found them. Not for any reward. Or as he calls it, name or fame. Look at me. Very important. And very rare. A little music interlude. Sounds nice. Anyone ever forget to turn off their device? Thank you so much. In the Jukai ceremony, Dogen Zenji suggests that we say this. On our great teacher Shakyamuni Buddha transmitted the precepts to Mahakashapa, and Mahakashapa transmitted them to Ananda. Thus they have been transmitted generation after generation down to me. Now I, as the head priest, give them to you. In order to show my gratitude toward the compassionate benevolence of the Buddhas and make them the eyes of all sentient beings. So it's not even about the person giving or receiving. To me, this is the lineage that we practice in. Mm-hmm. It is not about you or I. That oneness. Maybe it's a transgression to call myself Koshin and call you Kanchen. Sorry for transgressing against you, Kanchen. Please forgive me. The transgression is that we think it's personal. And what I'm feeling more and more in practice is about devotion. It's becoming very clear to me. In the most beautiful and surprising way. Like how good it feels in my experience when I really get out of the way and stop making it about what I feel like. Just completely doing. The precept of not stealing, which is the eighth precept, the second in the grave precepts. Dogen says, the mind and externals are just as thus. The gate of liberation has opened. The mind and externals are just thus. There's no difference. Things are just how they are. So there's no room for stealing. And when we allow that, the gate of liberation opens. Because our self-clinging, just like there's just no space for it in that moment. So relaxing. We also yesterday were studying some of the pieces by Dogen, and usually we get to a sentence or two. But we were reading, making a bow and getting the marrow. Just that it's incredible. So incredible. You know, the reason why we bow is to bow. But we often make it more complicated. So in the second paragraph of that piece, which we didn't have a chance to get to yesterday, he says, once we've encountered a guide, we should cast off the myriad involvements and without spending an inch of shadow, devote ourselves vigorously to pursuing the way. Pretty clear. Once we've encountered a guide, a teacher, we should cast off the myriad involvements. What are those myriad involvements? Anyone here have myriad involvements? Anshin and Kozan must be busy. Very busy they are with their myriad involvements. Busy little bees. Anyone here get caught up in how busy you are? So popular. So what is this casting off of myriad involvements? Does that mean you shouldn't do other things? What does that mean? This is often so misunderstood. We were talking about this yesterday in Zazen Kai. Many people think, oh, well, I'm not a monk, so I can't, what, not that. Most of those people who say that don't know what monks do. Monks are involved with a lot of things. Also have very full schedules. Even in a monastery, usually from 3 in the morning until about 11 at night. And there are no break times. In fact, if you ask about a break, they'll be like, what are you talking about? Because you have to learn how to rest inside of activity. That's the practice. That's the training. How do you rest inside of your activity? So casting off the myriad involvements is to actually cast off this kind of story of, oh, I'm involved in so many things. It's really hectic. That there is something about, you know, that relationship in particular with a teacher that in my experience is often a deep missed opportunity. To actually learn how to become receptive and really connect it. So that we don't transgress against them. And they don't transgress against us by thinking that we're just a name. He says we should cast off the myriad involvements and without spending an inch of shadow. Devote ourselves rigorously to pursuing the way. So what is that? Many people also say, like, well, I'm, you know, I'm a lay person, I have a job. As if that's not an incredible place to rigorously practice the way. He says we should practice with mind, practice without mind, and practice with half a mind. really important to know the difference, to learn how to actually have trust and confidence in the difference. Because we kind of know what it's like when we're practicing a little bit, when we're asleep, or we're kind of. We all know what that's like, right? It's not even a mystery. But what I love is he's saying that you have to do that. You have to know the difference. He says, thus, we should brush the fire from our heads and study standing on one leg. When we do this, we will not be assaulted by abusive minions of Mara. So you have to be that focused, knowing that the abusive minions of Mara, those of you who are not familiar, Mara is like the personification of all our greed, anger, and delusion. And as we learned yesterday, mostly manifests through fear. So when we're super focused, we can actually see it approaching, see it arising in us, feeding our suffering. If we're like, I love that image, right? Study standing on one leg, like that kind of attitude. Very powerful. The ancestor who cut off his arm and got the marrow is not someone else other than you. The master who sloughs off body and mind is ourselves. So he's even talking about his own experience. He's like, that's not me alone. It's not personal. Even our devotion, to me, is a gateway into the oneness. But if we're constantly staying in the world of difference where most of us live, I like this, I don't like that, I like this, I don't like that. People are familiar with that. I'm so busy. I'll wait till I'm not busy. Next year will be a better time. All those things that we're all so familiar with, like really learning how to stop, just cut it out. I love the expression, like, just land the plane. Just land the plane. Chetta and I were on a plane for a very long time once, not that long ago, last summer. For 8 hours, we were circling, and I just also felt like, let's just land this plane, you know, like land the plane. And when the plane landed, I was like, that is so great. It's great. And that's also the feeling that I have with practice. And I want to encourage you. And no one else can do it for you. And to me, that's always a reminder. My teacher can't do it for me. Your teacher can't do it for you. It's up to you. Our lineage is pecking in. from Shakyamuni Buddha to Mahakashyapa, Ananda, Prajnatara, Bodhidharma's teacher, are all pecking it right now. Rujing, Dogen Zenji's teacher, pecking in. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?